on ABC Radio Melbourne. You're with Rochelle Hunt.
And if you want to have a little bit of perfection on an afternoon, maybe it's combining Sesame Street and a big bowl of hummus. And there we go. That is my life complete. Dani Valent, food writer, eater, traveller, cook. You can catch all of her, well, travels and recipes on DaniValent.com. Sesame Street fan growing up?
Yes. I absolutely loved it. I actually feel like I am Ernie.
Really? He's your character?
I just felt myself in that character.
Why? What was it that you connected with Ernie?
I don't know. Was it just the goofiness or the openness?
Maybe it was the Robbie Duckies?
Could have been. Water and nice fluffy suds. And I've got my soap and washcloth to wash myself. And I've got my nifty scrub brush to help me scrub my back. And I've got a big fluffy towel to dry myself when I'm done. But there's one other thing that makes tubby time the very best time of the whole day. And do you know what that is? It's a very special friend of mine. My very favorite little pal.
And now we can all sing along. Oh, at a bath tonic, Sesame Street bath hummus, and life is complete. Ernie, he's so sweet, isn't he?
I think it's the optimism that I love so much.
Yeah, it's always glass half full.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that too, literally.
I know, hummus today is another topic very, very close to my heart.
Yes.
If there isn't either chickpeas or some kind of hummus in my fridge or pantry, I get a little bit panicky.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
It's the food that you need to have.
Well, because when I come home from work and I'm hungry or you want to munch, you know it's healthy, it's good, you know, depending on what you put it on, obviously, but it's just great.
It's just a beautiful food. And, you know, last time I came in, I was talked about my obsession with chickpeas that, you know, definitely picked up a pace in India. And I think now it's just carrying chickpeas just, you know, have travelled from culture to culture and are used in so many different ways in so many different places. So it has sort of transformed now into a bit of a hummus obsession.
That's okay.
I think it's okay
too. It's a safe space.
So I've been making hummus. I've been chatting to people about hummus. I've been eating hummus while I've been out in restaurants. And Melbourne's actually a pretty great place to do that at the moment. Middle Eastern cuisine has definitely picked up a pace. And although no one country can lay claim to hummus, some have tried, I think possibly we can all agree that in Israel it is a centrepiece of cuisine and indeed a whole genre of restaurants.
So when you make hummus, what are you using? I always struggle with mine because I basically the only implement I have to make it with is a stick blender and it doesn't ever quite get it smooth. So I just have to accept my homemade hummus is going to be a bit chunky.
Well, you know what I think you can do with that is just make sure your chickpeas are super mushy and are holding quite a lot of water.
And if you're cheating and using tinned chickpeas, which I quite often do.
I think that's so fine because we're all living in the real world and having our real lives where we need a snack in 5 seconds flat. So I think that's fine. But perhaps if you do have time, even soak them in a little hot water or put a little bit of the chickpea water in with them to give them a little bit more to sort of juice up with, and that's going to give your blender a bit more to a bit more to grab onto and create a smoother texture.
Are you a classic ingredient? Do you like to add? What goes into your basic hummus?
Well, I was chatting. So my review in this Sunday's Age is of a place in South Melbourne called The Left-Handed Chef, and if you ask anyone from the Middle East, but certainly this Israeli chef, about hummus, like be prepared to sit back and listen for the next hour because the passion runs deep. So he has a view. So to answer your question, I put garlic in my hummus as a rule. And most
just freshly
freshly crushed
squeezed,
garlic.
What's it called? Thank you.
Juice your gut first, juice your garlic. So his view is garlic stinks the hummus.
Yeah, I'm not big on garlic in my hummus.
Yeah, so raw garlic is a tricky ingredient to use. So yesterday I made some hummus without the garlic and I really focused on just the taste of the chickpeas, like, you know, four parts chickpeas to one part tahini. And I only put in a little bit of lemon juice, salt and pepper, and then I put a few, like, the yummy chili flakes over the top when I served it.
And do you do a little extra olive oil when
you serve?
I did
a drizzle of olive oil, but normally when I make hummus, I put olive oil in the recipe, so I didn't do that. And I have to say it was super delicious.
And what do you eat it with? Because it can be more than just a dip.
Well, this is the thing. So in Israel, there are a type of restaurants called hummusia, and basically The hummus is the centerpiece of the meal. You cannot think of it as a dip. That is to diminish its power and beauty. So the hummus is like the vessel for sprinkles. And the sprinkles are the extras, and they might be, you know, some lentil salad, some tahini and some za'atar spices, some grilled chicken. Some grilled cauliflower, some eggplant. But all those things are extras. Like, the main event is the hummus itself. There'll be pita, there'll be pickles, but the hummus is a thing. And warm. The hummus may be warm.
Okay.
Really flummoxed you, I can see, because that's quite revolutionary for us who are grabbing our hummus out of the fridge. But freshly made and warm hummus, often made with chickpeas while they're still warm.
What about as a sort of as a sauce type situation? I once went to a really great little burger place, and the guy there, and it's just really low key, and he makes all of his own veggie burgers and chickpea and lentil burgers, but he did this great little dish where the hummus was sort of on the side as an ingredient, so not as a dip, but it was used instead of you would a
like a
chutney,
condiment.
Like a condiment.
Yeah,
yes.
Delicious. Why not?
It was like, really good.
Yeah, I think it's great. Look, you can go so many ways. I've got another recipe on my site for roasted cauliflower hummus.
So
along with chickpeas and tahini, put in roasted cauliflower. So it's really building it up and making it more of a meal. So there's so many ways you can go.
Homemade hummus in the fridge, how many days? I mean, not that it would last more than 24 hours in my household, but how long would it generally, what's its shelf life?
Around 5 days.
Oh, yeah. That's not too bad.
But it freezes really well. So that's always something to keep in mind. If you make a massive batch, you can freeze it in portions and just bring it out. Might separates just slightly, but just give it a little bit of a stir and it'll all come back together and be just as creamy as it was in the first place.
1-300-222-774. You can text 0437-774-774. Maybe you've got a little quirky, inventive way to put your hummus on or with something. Maybe you've got an ingredient that you add to it, or maybe yours just isn't quite working and you have a question for Danny Valente. 1-300-222-774. Here's a couple of texts. Mark: ladies, have you heard of the 4-minute microwave hummus? It's amazing and so quick. No, here's something quite edgy. I don't have a microwave. Never have, never will.
I think a lot of people are in your camp. They're not into it. But I haven't heard of the 4-minute 4-minute microwave hummus. And
Mark's
I'm intrigued.
It's just hanging.
Okay, we'll have to look that up later.
I pour a bit of boiling water over my crushed garlic to take the edge off, says this text.
That's nice. And see, that might also help with your tinned chickpeas to just help get a little bit of smoothness.
What do you add to yours? If you're going to add something other than cauliflower, do you like to add some, you know, jalapenos or?
Oh, I've never done that. My mum adds a lot of parsley, and that can be really nice, just really brightens it up. But you do get those flecks of parsley through it. So the appearance is quite different. So that's something else you can do. You don't have to use chickpeas. You could use white beans as well.
But I had this conversation because I do that sometimes, because white beans, like a cannellini bean or whatever, a butter bean or something, it mushes up really easily and quickly.
Yes.
But is it then a hummus?
Yeah, look, it's you can definitely have your own little hummus war over that. So in Arabic, hummus actually means chickpea. So in Arabic, the real name for what we call hummus would be hummus bitahina, which is the hummus and the tahinis to make that dip. So if you're being super strict, I think it has to be chickpeas. But there is definitely a tradition of using other pulses.
1-300-222-774, your hummus recipe that you would like to share, or your little tip or trick, like maybe pouring a little bit of boiling water over the crushed garlic. I'm going to do that, actually, because I think
I think that's
really
a good idea.
Clever.
And not just for hummus, good for lots of things. Good for marinade as well, I reckon.
I have lots of British friends, and throughout parts of the UK, you know, it's just standard to be able to buy off the shelf a pre-made hummus that's really good quality. Do we have that here in Australia? I have noticed more and more brands starting to do it, but when you flip it over and you look at the ingredients, there's lots of kind of like a canola oil or a vegetable based oil, and lots of stabilizers and things that just
things you don't need.
No,
look, I think there is certainly some good prepared hummuses, but look at the ingredients, and you just really want to see a lot of chickpeas. So if it's got 30% chickpeas, no,
avoid.
So you really want to look at them that have got a really high proportion of chickpeas to the overall ingredients, and that is the most important thing.
Wendy's asking, should hummus be creamy or should it be creamy or thick band dry?
Not dry. No, definitely
it
not.
It could be thick or thin. Depends.
Look, it's honestly, it's a preference and it depends what you're going to do with it. So I suppose if you're making it as a dip, you don't want to, you know, dip a carrot into it and leave a little trail as you bring it to your mouth. So it should be probably thick enough to hold a little bit on a cracker or a crudité. But it depends how you're using it. If you are using it as a bit of a drizzle over something else, then it can be a bit thinner. And the beautiful thing about making your own is that you can adjust to preference. Even if you buy store-bought hummus and you want to thin it out a little bit, you can do that. Perhaps whisk it up with a little bit of hot water, add a little bit more lemon juice, add a bit of olive oil, certainly sprinkle it with spices. And that can be a really nice way to sort of, you know, jazz up the presentation.
Hummus is the best fresh and not too much lemon juice, says this text. Lemon juice, are you talking just a squeeze, two?
Half a lemon for one can of chickpeas would be a general rule for me, but of course it's a preference.
And when you're adding olive oil in the hummus at the time, how much olive oil are you adding?
The drizzle at the end.
Just a drizzle at the end. That's all you do.
No, I'm asking you, do you mean when I'm presenting it at the table or when
when you're making it.
Oh, like a goodly slosh?
A goodly slosh.
Yes. Is that precise enough for you?
And that's how I work. Absolutely. Yeah. Family of hummus obsessives here, says this text. Don't want to name drop, but the, so like the little vut-vut bullet has revolutionised things. We whip it up at a whim with canned chickpeas, always garlic, lemon, salt, pepper, but only sometimes tahini. Yum.
Wow.
Says B in Coburg.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic to be able to make the hummus that you want.
Jane says, making it without tahini, is it possible? Well, B in Coburg says yes. And if you have sesame allergies, then you would have to.
Oh, definitely. So no, there's honestly, it makes food that you can eat. So you don't have to add tahini if you don't want to.
Can I throw something wacky at you? This text.
I hope you will.
Have you ever tried chocolate hummus?
Oh,
see, brain just imploded right
well,
there.
Well, you know what? It's so funny because tahini and chocolate is awesome.
Yes,
so
tahini
of halva, you know, like sesame and chocolate, so good. So I actually cannot say that I've tried it, but I am going to.
Well, it's chickpeas, maple syrup, vanilla, coca. Awesome with apple. Google it, says this person.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm thinking, is the apple, as in you dip your apple, like maybe some apple slices?
That sounds really good.
And dip that in.
Yeah. I'm trying that.
So am I. A suggestion, olive oil infused with garlic 1% gives a slight garlic taste.
That's a good idea. I mean, to control the level of garlic is definitely a good thing to do.
Rich, can you please ask Danny how to nail the Indian deep fried cauliflower? That's from Mick. We don't have long, but how can he nail it in 30 seconds?
I'm not sure what the problem is. But when you're talking about frying things, often it's about the quantity and the temperature of the oil. And it's also about making sure that your ingredients are dry. So if you make sure your cauliflower isn't, if you've just washed it, make sure it's nice and dry. So maybe pat it dry with a paper towel and make sure that your oil is nice and hot. So that is a really short tip, but I hope it helps.
My 8-year-old daughter and I are working our way through a little hummus cookbook, a different new twist every week. I love this. Her favourite so far is adding a touch of tomato paste. Turns it pink. It's from Christine in Hawthorne.
That's great because, you can have beetroot hummus, roast pumpkin hummus. I mean, you can really go to town with different veggies.
Working your way through a hummus cookbook, that's my idea of heaven. Danny Valente, as always, thank you so much. It's news time.